One of the well-known saints in the church was Dr. Albert Schweitzer. He was a physician, he was a missionary from Europe to Africa, and he was a scholar. In 1952, he won the Nobel Peace Prize. He had spent a lifetime caring for the sick in the name of Christ and studying the life of Jesus. That in 1906, he published a landmark study about the historical Jesus, looking specifically at Jesus' life and ministry. That Schweitzer said, we have to understand the life of Jesus in light of Jesus' convictions. Why Jesus did what he did. Well, since the publication of Schweitzer's study, the scholarship around the historical Jesus has shifted. Now looking at the life of Jesus in light of the context of first century Judaism, helping us better understand why Jesus did what he did. And one reason for this shift is if you read Schweitzer's book about Jesus, Jesus ends up looking a little bit like a 20th century European missionary, which of course also describes Schweitzer. That it reveals that tendency where we might see Jesus like we see ourselves. That Jesus can end up looking more like us than the Jesus of the Gospels. That if we are not careful, we might assume that Jesus had a bit of a Southern charm, that Mary taught him, if you can't say anything nice, don't say anything at all. But then we find Jesus in the temple on the brink of the Passover, making a whip of cords, criticizing the money changers, and he overturned their tables. It was a scene which makes us more than a little uncomfortable because Jesus had this holy anger. And in trying to understand why Jesus did this, we could substitute our reasons for Jesus' reasons. That many have speculated that Jesus was upset because the money changers were exploiting the poor, selling the sacrifices at a higher price than they should, and making a profit on religion, which would be a good reason to be upset. The only problem is we don't find much evidence of corruption in the story unless we simply want to criticize the temple. Now, we might blame the religious authorities of the temple for negotiating too much with the Roman authorities because Rome controlled Israel and the temple, and the religious authorities were constantly negotiating with them and giving them ground so they could keep the doors of the temple open, and they might have given the Roman authorities too much influence. But that doesn't discredit the temple. And we find a positive view of the temple throughout the Gospels, that when Jesus was born, Mary and Joseph went to the temple and bought two turtle doves or pigeons to make a sacrifice of thanksgiving. And when Jesus was 12, around another Passover, he went missing. And how can we forget the fear that must have grabbed Joseph and Mary only to find him in the temple, as Jesus says, in my Father's house. The temple was important. So why did Jesus chase the money changers out? They were simply there to exchange currency for those who traveled from afar to make sacrifices to God. It would be as if you and I traveled elsewhere and we exchanged dollars for English pounds or Mexican pesos. Amy Jill Levine, who is a New Testament professor and Jewish, says that there might be more taking place in this story, something that we have even seen in the church. That Jesus saw not only the money changers, but perhaps also the attitude with which people came to the temple. That maybe the temple had become a safe place for insincerity. As Jesus said, "For you tithe mint, dill, and cumin, and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. It is these you ought to have practiced without neglecting others." That perhaps Jesus saw sacrifices without meaning and actions without conviction. That the church is a refuge, but it is not a safe place for pulling back when we are called to reach out. And we have to also remember when the Gospel of John was written, close to the turn of the century, well after the destruction of the temple by Rome, when there was a rebellion in the year 70. And the first readers of John are still trying to figure out what a life of faith looks like without the temple. That it reassures them that a sincere faith can carry us forward, as Jesus says. We gather at the temple of his body, walking in newness of life. Albert Schweitzer is said to have written, "We can all find the Jesus we want because we know so little about him." And perhaps it is good that we can all find ways to relate to the life of Jesus, that there is enough room for all of us to make connections. But the problem is, if we are not careful, Jesus can end up looking too much like us. So we return again and again to the ways of Jesus, who said, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth. Those who find their life will lose it. Take up your cross and follow me. Whoever wants to be first will be last. Do good to those who hate you. Blessed are the poor. All who exalt themselves will be humble." This helps us understand why the Apostle Paul said, "The message about the cross is foolishness. It does not follow conventional wisdom." And it is the reason that God's weakness is stronger than human strength. And it's why we return to the life of Jesus, so that our lives can look more like Jesus's life, not so that his life ends up looking more like ours. And even though Jesus didn't necessarily overturn the tables because the money changers were exploiting the poor, the reason that he might have overturned the tables leads us back to the same place. That we are called to sincerely care for the hurting. That the church is a refuge. It is a safe place. But it is never a retreat from the ways of Jesus. That we know enough about the life of Jesus to know that we are called to care for the poor and the vulnerable. I do not have the words to describe how grateful I am that Auburn First Baptist has always been a safe place for all people. And I also don't have the words to say how thankful I am that Auburn First Baptist is not a retreat from the ways of Jesus. That in February of 1916, Auburn First Baptist made the decision that every time we gather around this table to celebrate the Lord's Supper, to remember the love of God, that we would also remember the love of neighbor, taking up a benevolence offering. It was 105 years ago. And the church has not been a safe place ever since. That I'm thankful for that decision. Because what seems unsafe, reaching out to care for one's neighbor, just might be the most secure we have ever been. Because those who lose their lives will find it. And those who are last will be first. And those who are humbled will be exalted. Last year, in the midst of this pandemic, this church was able to help out a family in need out of its benevolence funds. And a couple weeks later, we received this card from that family, which says, "Since living in Auburn, I have yet to be shown love and compassion genuinely like you have shown me. I really cannot express how touched I feel through your gestures. You reminded me, people can still be non-judgmental and loving to strangers, which has brought me hope. Thank you again. Signed, no longer a stranger." Amen.